In 1128, Saint Bernard of Clairvaux famously wrote, "Take away free will, and there remaineth nothing to be saved." From the advent of Christianity, belief in God has been virtually synonymous with belief in free will. Modern neuroscience's triumphal advances and our ability to peer into the human brain with MRIs and watch emotions, thoughts, and values light up physical structures and tissues are demonstrating with ever greater certainty that, in fact, we are purely material beings and our consciousness is the product of electrochemical reactions occurring in physical tissues rather than the product of the actions of an immaterial ghost in the machine. Those physical structures are just as subject to the laws of physics as the rest of our world, and how they respond to stimuli is determined by those laws. With virtual unanimity, scientists and philosophers are telling us that our behavior is the inevitable result of a mixture of our genetic inheritance and our lifetime of experiences, our nature and nurture. Our next moral decision might have been chosen by us, and may be the product of our deliberation of the pros and cons, but the reason we made the choice we did and the reasons why we found one set of pros and cons compelling was determined by forces ultimately outside of our control. Faith has responded to the growing consensus that free will is an illusion, largely by seeking some tiny refuge for free will, some small suggestion that human beings can exert free will despite all the evidence to the contrary. Faith has sought some small place in human nature where free will can reside and give God something to judge, and some justification for loving us, and something to forgive us for. There was great excitement among theologians and moral philosophers when the field of quantum mechanics revealed that there is genuine random activity in the universe on the quantum level. Here was proof that not every action is an inevitable reaction to something that went before. The stuff that makes up our universe at the smallest level appears to be free of the normal, classic rules of physics. Quanta appear to wink out and back into existence, to occupy two places at once, and to move in a way that defies the laws of causality. But the excitement was brief. Acting in a random fashion may be free of the classic laws of physics, but it doesn't imply moral responsibility or moral autonomy. If the human mind can somehow exploit this randomness, it would not make us any more morally responsible for our actions. Random action is not morally responsible action. If I am compelled to act in a random way, I cannot be said to be responsible for it any more than if I was compelled to act in a way determined by classic physics. Humanity's capacity to reason, to consider ideas and be motivated by them, might also seem to set us apart from the causal universe, and give us some hint of freedom. Ideas are transmitted to us in words, arguments, and concepts, things that are not conveyed in a physical form, but nonetheless influence us to act one way and not another. We seem to have some conscious control over our unconscious selves in a way that hints at freedom of will, but our ability to reason is clearly limited by our nature and our nurture. If I am by nature a rational person, if I have not suffered any disease or accident that might affect my ability to think and act reasonably, and if my upbringing and other influences were such that having good, compelling, justifiable reasons for what I do is valued, then I will tend to be reasonable. But I am not responsible for my nature or my nurture. I did not choose what brain I would be born with or the family, culture, and educational system within which my capacity for reason would be nurtured. As such, although acting according to reason might be a great benefit to me and might cause me to act more morally than somebody who cannot act according to reasons, I can't take credit for it, nor can I blame somebody who lacks these things. Having failed to find a redoubt for free will, all we've been able to muster in the defense of faith is a weak insistence that paradox and mystery resolve the problem. It appears that everything important to faith is at stake. Our ability to be self-directing, moral, and souled creatures capable of love and being deserving of love and being deemed to possess inherent dignity, and the perception championed by faith that the universe is not cold, impersonal, and mechanistic, but a place of warmth inhabited by a loving God.